Thanks for joining us on the JX today. We'll get back to a story we've covered from several angles now, the story of who gets to use the Upper Rogue River and how. The state of Oregon is taking public input on that issue with the last of the planned listening sessions a week ago and a survey still out there for filling out until July 5th. That can be filled out online, by the way. That whole process might not exist if not for jet boats. The commercial boats that zoom people up and down the Rogue River have lots of fans, but right now we're going to hear from people who want to limit the use of those boats on the Upper Rogue. From the Upper Rogue Guardians, we have two guests, Don Blazer. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes. Happy to be here.
And Mike Parker is a part of the group as well, and a biologist from Southern Oregon University originally.
Thanks, Jeff.
Good to have you both here. So how soon, Mike, or Don, rather, after jet boats began traversing the Upper Rogue, did an opposition group form?
Well, there's always been a little bit of opposition, but it's never been an organized opposition. So I can tell you what started me is in 1973, I'd just gotten off the river in the Tuvel Road area below Table Rock. I watched a big jet roll over a teenager, and the teenager never saw the boat, and the boat never saw the teenager, and that was my first experience with that. Now, I own two jet boats, or have owned two jet boats. I own one now. And historically, all of us that own jet boats and guides would go below Tuvel or below Table Rock Road. It's deeper, it's wider, and you can maneuver your jet boat easier. So the group got started about... The full group got started about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
So it sounds like the issue is less the what than the where.
Right. Correct. And I have so much to say on the subject. My whole thing with being part of this group is safety. Mm-hmm. I have a jet boat. I know what it takes to pilot one. You don't just get in it and drive. And there's a great website that tells you about driving a jet boat. And it's been done on YouTube by Grant Woolridge. And I know if you're familiar with the Woolridge family.
Yeah. This is the Woolridge family? Like
Glenn
Woolridge's
kid?
Yeah, Glenn was one of the first people to navigate the river that we know of.
So he puts out a great video on how to operate a jet boat. And they're not like getting in a motorboat, or they're not like a lake boat. And really, you need a lot of instructions. And I paid someone a long time ago to teach me to drive my jet. So... my concern now is the door's been open. We're at a watershed moment. The door's been open for these microjets and all jets to go on the Rogue. And prior to this, it was a gentleman's agreement not to go on the upper part of the river.
So what changed? I mean, you still could have transported a boat upstream from where Gold Ray Dam was. Gold Ray Dam is not there anymore. Was the removal of the dam any factor in this?
No, not at all. It was we'd always use the Tuvel launch. And then we'd head off downstream. Occasionally in the wintertime, we'd go a little bit past the Tuvel Bridge or Table Rock Bridge, maybe like a half a mile or so. And then they do what's called the backwater trolling. You put your little engine down and you troll back and forth for fishing. But everyone's agreed not to go up there until recently. Apparently, the commercial project came in, and it kind of opened the door for all that. We'd learned then that there were no rules for jet boating on the river. And my background is navigation and sailing and been all over the place. And the rules of the road are extremely important in harbors and marinas and everywhere else. There's a 5-mile-per-hour limit, no wake limit. Oddly enough, on the Rogue, there's nothing. And so whoever is floating the river on a tube, or we floated on inner tubes a long time ago, but kayak, a paddleboard, a raft is in danger of either being hit because of the narrowness of our part of the upper river or being knocked out because of the wakes that are left behind. And then the secondary danger that people aren't aware of is I'm an advanced open water diver. I've been a diver all my life. That river is far more dangerous than the ocean, in my opinion, because of the hydrology. And most people don't understand that. So we used to lose a lot of people every year. And I think we lost someone recently, yesterday. You get knocked out of these boats. If you don't know how to float feet first down, you run into bushes and shrubs. I've rescued probably at least a dozen people in my lifetime having lived down there. And I've lived there since 1973.
We're talking about the use of the Upper Rogue River and jet boat use on the river, and a group opposed to it in the form of the Upper Rogue Guardians. Don Blazer and Michael Parker are guests in the studio. If you have some comments or questions of your own you'd like to share, send those along in an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Mike Parker, what is your particular interest here? Is this a biological thing in terms of
absolutely, yeah. My background, as you know, is I'm an ecologist, and have studied streams and rivers for 30 or 40 years, and, you know, my concerns are the safety issues, the navigation issues, but primarily the ecological issues. As you know, the Rogue River is really world famous for its salmon and steelhead fisheries, and there are a number of other aquatic resources that are there that people are not quite as familiar with. So I'm concerned about the impacts on the fisheries, but I'm really concerned about the ecological integrity of the river and what that means for those fisheries and those other uses. And when I say that, what I'm talking about, and, you know, people sort of roll their eyes because I can get down in the weeds a little bit, but when I teach stream ecology, one of the first things I say to students about the streams, everything that happens ecologically important happens on the stream bed, down in the sediments. And the stream margins are really important areas of ecological activity and exchange of materials between the watershed and the river. And when jet boats pilot up, particularly a narrow river, the impacts of jet boats gets more extreme on the stream bed and on the stream banks as the river gets smaller and the boats get bigger and more powerful. And so every time a jet boat passes the river, there are places along the stream bed that the substrate gets churned up. It releases aquatic vegetation that floats downstream, it increases turbidity, and it causes bank erosion. So those things are really destructive to the organisms that live on the bed of the river that form the base of the food web that actually feeds up to those fish. So there are direct impacts on the fish themselves, but the indirect ecological impacts are ones that are kind of invisible, but pervasive and, in the long term, probably pretty devastating to that river.
Is the effect similar to what used to happen with the gold suction dredges that were placed in the river?
Not quite the same, because those were much more localized. When you have a jet boat pass by, the entire area that it's motoring could potentially be impacted by the hydrology, that the turbulence that's created and that kind of thing. Suction dredging was more localized, more intense in one local area, but yeah. So same thing, disturbing the stream bed.
All right. So in your opinion, though, I mean, can the jet boats be made small enough or be asked to go slow enough to not have that effect?
Well, I think it would defeat the purpose, right? The jet boats go fast. It's kind of a thrill ride. They have to go fast. They have to go fast
to
up the rapids.
Above,
oh,
they,
yeah,
so they
exactly.
They have to
the
get
water,
on plane,
yeah.
And they can travel in 6 inches of water. Now, the new microjets can travel in about 2 inches of water. And the real problem is going to be, the other problem is going to be, they're going to be able to go up streams eventually. And I think the Oregon Marine Board's got to factor all that. They've already banned, they call them personal watercrafts, but those are wave runners.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand is, how did the wave runners get banned, but the microjets are okay, the jet boats are okay? Our river runs about 3 to 5 miles per hour. It's kind of like a one-way area. And I'm talking about from Table Rock to the dam. And you've got to run your jet at about 25 to 30 miles per hour to get it on plane and stay. And that's how you steer it. Steers kind of like an airplane. It doesn't have a rudder, so it's a whole different set of circumstances. If you blew up a hot air balloon or a balloon and released it, that's how jet boats work. It's that propulsion and back. Yeah. Without that, they sink. And if they sink in shallow water, you stop them, they can suck up a rock or something, and that just stops the whole jet. You're done. You've got to find out how to get the rocks out. So it's an interesting phenomena, but it's coming, and from my end, I don't want to see our upper river turn into a great big freeway of jet boats.
We are talking about jet boats on the Upper Rogue River from the old Gold Ray Dam site all the way up to Lost Creek Dam, which is where the state is studying and asking for people to bring input. There's still a survey out there till July 5th. We're talking to opponents in the form of the Upper Rogue Guardians, Don Blazer and Mike Parker in the studio with me. We can take emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Spencer in Williams already emailed to say, for those seeking quiet on the Rogue River, which includes rafters, kayakers, and neighbors, the loud and obnoxious jet boats are an extreme scourge. Thank you for the comment, Spencer. What do you guys think of the process that the state has undertaken with Oregon's Kitchen Table to go collect information from the public and their feelings about the use of the Upper Rogue?
Well, in my opinion, it probably shouldn't have gotten that far. The impacts of the jet boats are pretty obvious, and it could have been kind of nipped in the bud early on, I think. And the problem I see is in a lot of these issues is the burden of proof falls in the wrong place. So here's an organization that wants to make money by running these tours up and down the river. And it's up to those of us who see the potential impacts as having to document that they're doing harm, rather than the question should have been, is this something that can be allowed? Will it cause harm in the first place? So the burden of proof falls on us to prove that there's something going on that's negative, rather than going at it at the beginning and saying, okay, the burden of proof is on you, the operator who's going to make a financial gain by using this resource. You should be the one who shows that there is no harm potentially to the river, both from a safety perspective and from an ecological perspective.
So since the question is being asked then, I mean, is there documented degradation of the river and its surroundings? I'm just talking biological, ecological, not just in terms of like human values.
Can I make a statement?
Sure.
There really hasn't been jet boats on the Upper Rogue. And so our concern is from Table Rock or Tuvel to the dam. I will tell you the commercial project probably has great pilots. My concern is, I don't know who the next guy is. They're really hard to skipper. And I'm worried eventually someone will get killed. I know that's going to happen, or someone's going to be seriously injured. And then the response time to get someone out of the river from all of this is it's frightening if it turns out the way I think it looks like it's going. And we shouldn't be asked to prove that. It's like it's like doing a study on a freeway, why you shouldn't ride your tricycle on it. It's like... to me, it's crazy.
And there's a significant amount of scientific literature out there on the impacts of boats on rivers, not specifically the Rogue, in the Upper Rogue in particular, but there are a number of studies that show the impacts on ecological processes that we don't want to have disrupted in that part of the river because we want to support the fishery.
So what is the request here then? What do you want to see happen? Do you want to see no jet boats on the Upper Rogue at all, or some serious limits in space and time?
I would like to see it remain the way it's been for years and years, and that is I've got a jet boat. I would still like to launch it and go below Tuvel for me personally. But I would like to see, our group wants to see a 15-horsepower limit on people going above Table Rock Bridge. I would like to see a speed limit, just like there is in every marina, in every part of you, marina or a lake you can go to. It's a no-wave thing, so I see it as just a real dangerous situation for the public.
15-horsepower limit would rule out the jet boats, I'm assuming.
It would, unless they found a way to make them run at 15, but it would rule out. It would probably take care of the jet boats and also swamp gliders that are now appearing.
Swamp glider?
Yep.
I'm not familiar with that.
A swamp glider? Mm-hmm. You've seen them in Florida looking for alligators or swamp gliders.
Oh,
now.
Jet boats kind of thing? I mean,
no, it's not a jet. It's run by a big fan, airplane propeller, airplane. Right?
Ah, okay.
And they're loud.
So, I mean, is the Oregon State Marine Board doing what it's supposed to be doing here, and at least collecting information from the public about uses of the river?
Well, they're collecting information from the public, but they're not collecting a lot of scientific information or information about the impacts of jet boats on the river itself.
Right.
And I think, you know, before you can move forward, you have to know what those potential impacts are and monitor them to demonstrate that you're not having a negative impact. I mean, it's ridiculous to invest so much money in restoration of the fishery after the dam came in and doing habitat restoration and all the public land along the river to then allow for an activity that could degrade those and sort of compromise all the activities that are going on.
Another chiming in here from John in Talent, who writes, why has the State Marine Board and the Parks Department allowed this one jet boat company to operate without permission? There is call for an investigation here. That from John in Talent. So a couple of seconds left here with Don Blazer and Mike Parker. Do you think the state might say, sorry, jet boaters, you have to go?
Well, we're hoping they will limit them, as I've said before, above Table Rock Road. We can only hope, but I see it as a public safety issue. Someone is going to get hurt. I don't know if it's the jet boater. I don't know if it's the person in the raft that gets knocked out and ends up in the shrubs and there's a current that's going down. I don't know. I just don't understand how we can put them all together in that narrow, shallow part of the river.
All right. We heard a couple of opinions from email as we were talking here to Don Blazer and Mike Parker from Upper Rogue Guardians. You can put yours in there still as well if you go to OregonsKitchenTable.org. The survey is still active through July 5th. And we'll hear from the Oregon State Marine Board and the Oregon Department of Parks and Recreation afterward about what the plans will be for moving forward. Mike Parker, thanks for coming back to the Jefferson Exchange. Don Blazer, thank you for coming to the Jefferson Exchange. Short break on the program. We'll be back with more here on JPR. Stay tuned.